to Ag Hour. Chuck and Mark here in the studio, and we're going in northern Minnesota. Dale Ringsdorf, president of the Minnesota Buffalo Association. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
How are things up in northern Minnesota?
Well, they couldn't be better right now. We're going to have ourselves close to a 70-degree day, and snow's pretty much gone in our area here. So people are finally starting to get axe and string work. So, yeah, it's looking up.
Maybe some of these lots will dry out as well, huh?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of pens out there, and there's still calving going on out here for the beef producers, and I'm sure they're welcoming this.
Well, you were in Watertown here this weekend for the bison convention. Let's talk a little bit about the bison as a whole. Bison is becoming a popular meat. It's one we never really thought of, but we're seeing it more spread. Is there a lot of bison in our area?
Yes, there are. In fact, South Dakota is the largest state when it comes to the number of bison in the state, and it's kind of led the way in getting bison out into people's ranches and so on because of the sale at Custer State Park over the years. They had a large herd and had a large sale every year. And, so South Dakota is not only big, it's huge in bison production.
Are you seeing an increase in the bison nationwide? Are we seeing more animals? The consumption going good?
The consumption is going very good. The number of bison in the United States probably hasn't increased. Actually, it's just kind of remained steady for probably the last 10 years. I think this year now, we've had good prices for about 8-9 years. And I think this year now, we're starting to see a little decrease in the heifer slaughter, which would indicate that there's probably some retention and maybe a few other people getting in.
So what's drawing people to eating the bison?
Well, I guess we've just kind of created a little niche market out there for the bison. It's unique, you know. We have it's very similar to beef in taste and so on, a little bit sweeter, a little bit leaner, and a little higher in protein and vitamins. So health-wise, people will say it's really good for you. And then we kind of created a story around it, too, you know. It was the animal that roamed the plains all those years, and then those got wiped out, and now they're back, and people are taking the meat. And it's just kind of got a little bit of favorable press and so on around it, and we're capitalizing on that.
You know, we see beef, we feed them a lot in the feedlots. Can the buffalo more grass-fed, or do you see them some finishing?
Yes, buffalo are, they're raised overall probably similar to beef. I would say more bison producers are in kind of strictly grass-fed product, but many buffalo are raised kind of traditionally to beef and put on a ration at the end of the time period before they're slaughtered. And the reason for that is if you're going to have a consistent product going to the consumer, you kind of have to have them on the same kind of feed all year round. And although animals can be really good and tender and everything, at the end of the summer, early fall, you start putting them on hay, and in these cold temperatures and so on, they start losing weight. Your consistency of the product goes down. And because people, once they, you know, if they buy it and they like it, you got to try and give them the same thing the next time, too. And so there's a lot of animals being raised kind of like beef, but usually with more space in pens. Some of them are finished out on pasture, but with grain out on pasture. And they just, you know, they're an animal that needs a little more room than the traditional beef animal does.
You know, we hear about people that raise buffalo or keep them in a pen. Do you have to have a pretty solid pen? Are buffalo becoming, their disposition getting better?
Well, I don't think we're really changing their disposition all that much. We found a few tricks first of all, they're not hard to fence. They don't like to stick their heads through a fence and those kind of things, anything where they could maybe get caught. They're really very leery of that. We found five or six strands of barbed wire works really well. Some people use five or six strands of high tensile electric, and if they're you know, even more cautious, they might go to the woven wire. But I would say most of them are fenced in just additional barbed wire. And if they have plenty to eat, they seem to be content there. When people run into problems is when they don't take care of the groceries out there in the pasture. And you can't blame the buffalo for that.
No.
We've also found that if they start with animals that are young, calves are 2 year or yearlings, and get them acclimated, that kind of becomes home to the animal. They're much more content than an animal that's relocated at the age of 14 or 15 years old or something like that. So, you know, if a person's interested and talk to some producers, you might get some pretty good advice on how to go about it.
Well, I know they always say people drive through, you know, Custer State Park, be careful with the buffalo, they'll take you. Are they pretty good around to be walk around, walk through?
Well, I always say you might be able to walk right through your herd 100 times and never get hurt, but it's that one time where something goes wrong. Either you didn't know that a cow calved out of season and doesn't like you around, or a bull has discovered a cow that's in heat and is kind of courting that cow and he doesn't want you around. And when those kind of things happen, it usually can be very tragic. So most people are very careful about it. They stay close to a vehicle or a tractor and make sure they've got a safe escape route if they're going to leave that that kind of safety. It's just precautionary and common sense. They're still a wild animal, and because of that, they're unpredictable. And like I say, most of the time when something happens, the guy said, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and like I say, with a cow with a brand new calf, a bull that's courting a cow can be a bad situation.
Well, we have the same problem with some dairy bulls out there too. You got to be very cautious. When do they usually calf?
They usually start calving right about now in my area, western South Dakota. It's usually a little earlier, by a couple weeks or 3 weeks. Down in Kansas and Oklahoma, they're probably all done calving already. So it really kind of depends upon where you're raising them. And that's just a natural thing with the buffalo. I don't know what triggers it, whether it's the angle of the sun or what, but something triggers estrus at either July or early August, and it seems people in certain areas calve at certain times.
How many bulls or was that how many cows can they handle?
Well, most people run, you know, like 15 to 20. Cows for a bull, I think, somewhere in that range. But we've had instances where three bulls were in with 50 cows, and when the guy did genetic testing on it, he found that out of the 50 cows, one bull bred like 43 of them. So, yeah, we're still trying to figure out those kind of things. You know, it's pretty infant industry here, and I guess we take the attitude better to have more bulls than not enough at this point. So, yeah, you can hear stories and anecdotes, but yes, it's probably in that 15 to 20 cows per bull range.
I had a listener text me just now. I wanted to know that if they need water in the winter, can they live on snow?
They can live on snow. Okay. Most producers will provide water in the winter, but I know of producers that don't, as long as they're in an area where there's plenty of snow available, they seem to stay out in the pasture and not even come up for water for days when it's available to them. And just said, well, if they can do it for days. And they get nice calf crops and the animals look healthy. So, yeah, they can get by on just snow. Yep.
Are you seeing the buffalo? I know we can walk right into Watertown store and see the buffalo. Are you getting into some larger markets, the cities?
Yes, we are. Because the product has a premium price to it, you're more likely to find it in the premium grocery stores and in areas where there's more of an affluent population base there. But you know, like Trader Joe's and Kroger's and Whole Foods and some of those, you know, higher end specialty stores, they like to carry it. And then some of the higher end cuts go to some higher end restaurants and that kind of thing. But we don't have enough animals or enough product to get in all stores or all restaurants. It's, you know, there's only like 50,000 head slaughtered every year. So it's in that range, I guess. Okay. And, you know, that's not going to go very far with 400 million people.
Yep.
And so that's, I guess, why the price is probably a little higher, too. You know, we can command that with that shortage of a supply.
Well, Dale, I'm going to have to go. I mean, I'd love to talk to you longer. We're running out of time, but maybe I'll call you again sometime down the road, and we'll talk some more, Buffalo. Very interesting.
Yes, that sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, Dale, thank you very much.